Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You know not when the time will come. It's like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come you suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By now we're all familiar with the terrible tragedy that just happened three blocks away, in which the garage exploded and three young men lost their lives in the explosion. I think one is Cameron Boatman. He was 19. He was supposed to get married soon. I think he has a child. Another, Mr. Furby from Lynchburg, and David Beaver. I think it's Mr. Furby who has a child who has leukemia. And David Beaver is a young man in his 40s, and he's married with children. So it's a terrible tragedy. But I think what would be more terrible is if we, as Christians, as Catholics of St. Mary Church, do nothing to help. So we're going to help. We will have a second collection today. We've already taken up some money. So we'll have a second collection. Talking with Rory Ryan of the Highland Press and Craig Turner, we'll split it up three ways, one to each family, the Beaver, the Furby, and the Boatman families. And we'll divide it up. The church, I'm going to take some money from our emergency fund. We'll throw that in with your collection. So we're going to collect today, and also we're going to do it one more time next week. We're going to collect money for the families, for funeral expenses and food and things like that. You figure there's three breadwinners were just wiped out. That's a terrible tragedy. And we as Christians must respond with love and generosity. So be as generous as you can. If you want to write a check, make it out to St. Mary Catholic Church, and then we'll put it in and write on their benefit, write benefit on the check. We'll know what it's for. And then we'll take that and disperse the monies. But I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook, the picture. That's right, the picture. Did you see the picture of the cross on Facebook? Raise your hands if you saw it. Okay, you got quite a few. For those who didn't see it, this has to be the hand of God, because they took a picture of the devastation while it was in a blazing inferno. And the plume of smoke went so high, they could see it miles away. But if you look at this picture on Facebook, that there's a wall of smoke, but right in the middle, there's a hole. It's like the smoke goes like this, and then around the hole and up again. There's this hole. And in the hole, you could visibly, clearly see a cross. You'd see the cross. That's right, Joseph. You see the cross. Now, you know, if you want to have a natural explanation, of course, at cross is probably the telephone pole down the street where the wires go out. But think of this. God can use natural things for supernatural purposes. I mean, the fact that that pole became visible right then and there at that time and really looked like a cross, I think it's still a miracle and a sign from God that he suffers also with those who have suffered in this terrible tragedy. So if you go to Facebook, Michelle, where can I get this picture? Oh, you haven't seen it? Go to Facebook. It's on there. Yeah. I don't use Facebook. Someone gave it to me, the picture. But anyways, if you want to build up your faith and realize God's hand is even in the tragedies we don't understand, and his hand is never to destroy. His hand is to bring comfort, care, and love. So may we be the hands of Jesus, and by our donation, help them in their time of need. So that's not my sermon. Now you get the sermon. Are you ready? This is Advent, so we must suffer a little bit. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary has just come out with the most important word for 2023. And the most important word is what most Americans are thinking about or writing about or trying to live by. And that word is authentic. Authentic. That is the word of 2023. You will hear people say authentic cuisine, or authentic voice, or authentic self. Authentic means not false, being real, true to oneself, or made or done the same way as the original. That's what authentic means. And authenticity is so important today because the line between real and fake is completely blurred. You can't trust anything you see now on the internet. Look at what's happening with the rise of AI, artificial intelligence. It scares the bejeebies out of me. All I could think is Terminator and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and robots. How do you know I'm real? I may be RB1 Kenobi or what? Oh, R2-D2. That's R2-D2. He was short and fat, so. So, I was thinking of Obi-Wan Kenobi, not him, R2-D2. But really, you don't know what's real or fake. And guess what? Kids in school are writing papers and doing homework using AI. All you have to do is pump in the info and they'll write a whole college paper for you or help you pass a test or do a homework assignment. And guess what? That doesn't stop there. AI can even write sermons. It's true. I heard a sermon from AI, and I said, whoa, that's pretty good. I like that. Well, I confess, for the last 2 years, I've been stealing sermons from Father Google. What really scares me is the deep fake. You ever hear a deep fake? A deep fake video. That's when AI can create convincingly fake images of a completely fake event. If you see a video of me refusing a second helping of spaghetti and meatballs, that's a deep fake. There's an example right there, because you'll never see that. The church gives us Advent. We're in Advent now, a time to watch for Jesus. And he's coming back, and we got to prepare for his arrival. The church says, Jesus says, in Mark 13, 33, 34, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work. What is the work that God wants you to do until you see him again? What is the work? It is this. God calls you to work at authentic Christian living. authentic, real Christian living. Be a real Christian, not a fake. A fake Christian will go to church, but that's where his Christianity stops. It looks good, but then he or she doesn't take the Christian love of Jesus outside the door, outside these walls. It stays in church. But a real Christian goes to church, but that's where his Christianity starts anew. That's where his Christianity begins again, when he or she leaves the church doors and goes beyond the walls. Then his Christianity is renewed. And a real Christian will bring Jesus into everyday living. When you receive communion today, yes, you eat the host, drink the wine, his body and blood, but may it change you to be an alter Christus, another Christ. That's what it means, alter Christus. Latin phrase means another Christ. It was really used for priests, but you're all priests through your baptism. So you too are alter Christus. So may your Christianity be real, and you go live it when you walk out that door. My brothers and sisters, when I was a young priest, just a few years ago, that's a deep fake. This is a deep fake right there. When I was a young priest, I would, if I didn't say Mass that day, or at least at that Mass, and the pastor was saying Mass, I would still greet the people. And I'd come from the rectory, and I'd walk over to the church door at Our Lady of Visitation, my very first assignment. And I would stand outside at the door, and I would greet all the Catholics who left the Mass early. I would, hey, how you doing? Oh, is Mass over now? Oh, he's giving the blessing right now. All my brothers and sisters, they would get so embarrassed. Some of them would walk past me, Joseph, like I wasn't even standing there. Just go right straight past me. And one time I did this, I looked at the church parking lot of a man who left the church early, and he got an argument with a man who left the church Mass at the proper time after the blessing, and they were fighting. They literally were yelling at each other because the man who left early was upset that his car was blocked by the guy who left on time. And they're out there arguing, you blocked my car. And the other guy said, you left church early. And off to the races. And they both were at church. They both received Jesus. I think someone was not paying attention to Jesus that day. This incident illustrates a trap. There's a trap for Catholics and all Christians, and we're Christian too. And the trap is this. It's called, I call it performance Christianity. That's the trap. Performance Christianity. That's when you perform the rituals, like going to church, going to Mass, or Catholics, you know, praying the rosary, making novenas, doing Eucharistic adoration. Yeah, that's right. All these holy things. That kid likes my sermon. This is good. But, you know, you go and you do all the holy things. These prayers are good. The Mass is good. Novenas are good. Rosary is great, too. But if what you do in the rituals does not change your heart, we call that conversion, to change your heart to Jesus, then it loses the reason why you do them. You know, like that example, two guys went to church, end up fighting in the parking lot. What good did it do them to say all these prayers? So prayers are good, especially, we call them efficacious. Prayers are efficacious when they change your heart to be an alter Christus, another Christ. Matthew, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says, watch out. Don't perform your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Let's not perform. That's just acting. Let us be real. And we call that living. Jesus calls you today to authentic Christianity, where your prayers aren't just words, but make you more like Jesus. Prayer helps you to see your true treasure. Your true treasure is not going to be under a Christmas tree, and it's not going to be in your wallet, and it's not going to be in your bank account. That's not your true treasure. Your true treasure is always Jesus. And Jesus says in Mark 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Authentic means to conform to the original. And Jesus is the original, the first Christian. We must conform our minds, our hearts, our souls to Jesus. God said in Romans 12:2, do not conform to this world. Don't conform to the earth and the things down here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good. The best theologian, the holiest theologian that I have ever met, who had the biggest influence on my life, was a theologian who could not read and could not write. That theologian was my grandmother, Frances. She went to church every day. This woman prayed 5 rosaries a day. My little Baba, we got my little Baba, she's Polish. You like that, Joe? She's Polish. She was 5'4". She wore a silk flowered dress. She always wore an apron, and she didn't even cook anymore. But she'd wear her apron, and she had her hair in a bun. Long before men had hair buns, there was my grandmother with hers. She always had her hair in a bun. Couldn't read or write. But I'll tell you this, she's my greatest theologian, because when she went to Mass, when she prayed her rosary, when she prayed in church, you could see, it was palpable, you could see the love of Jesus coming from her heart. It's really meant something to her. Every Mass, every rosary, every prayer that she whispered on her lips, it was from a heart of love for God and for Jesus. And guess what? She told me to love him too. She showed me how to love Jesus too. Her love was of God was contagious. And I got it too, Joyce. Got the bug. I said, this is pretty wonderful. Her husband, my grandfather, Stosh Stanley, he died in 1957 at the age of 63. And my grandmother grieved him for 18 years till she left us in 1975. And after he died, it was like her life here was over. She was looking above to God. That's all she wanted to do, was be with God. In fact, she always had this stock phrase that she always said to anything you asked her or tell her or comment to her. My Baba would simply say, I pray to God I die and be with Jesus. Said it all the time. Merry Christmas, Baba. I pray to God I die and be with Jesus. That's a nice dress you're wearing. I pray to God I die and be with Jesus. She said that for everything. I guess to her, the joy of Christmas was nothing down here compared to the true, real joy of Jesus in heaven. One day, after breakfast, after Mass, she'd make me breakfast, 5 hot dogs, 6 eggs, 4 pieces of bread. She'd say, you big boy, you eat. Well, I became a big boy. I kept eating for the rest of my life. She said, you big boy, you eat. But while of course, you know, all she had was a cup of coffee and toast. While I'm eating a feast, she's eating like a pauper. And she smiled the whole time, happy that I'm eating. But one day while we were at table, I repeated her line back to her. And I said to Baba, I said, you know, Baba, I pray to God and be with Jesus. And then she yelled at me. She yelled at me. She says, Miju, she called me Miju, Michael, Miju, you cannot die yet. Go be a priest. I did. I obeyed. When Baba spoke, you listened. So here I am. I pray. We all have a wonderful Advent. We have much work to do, don't we? Much work to do. One postscript. My grandmother died on June the 6th in 1975. That was the birthday of her daughter, Rosie. And Baba was up on 14th Street, walking the street, praying a rosary, where she had a massive heart attack and died at the age of 83. And she just like fell over. My Aunt Rosie was so upset, not only losing her mother, but Aunt Rosie, on June 6th was her birthday, and she was upset that she couldn't find the rosary. She knew her mom was praying the rosary, and when they picked her up, her hands open, and it was gone. There was no rosary. And my Aunt Rosie was very upset. And she told everyone the story until she died, the day she died. My Aunt Rosie said, Michael, I heard my mother's voice. I heard Baba's voice. And I said, Aunt Rosie, what did she say? And she said, the rosary is under the car. My Aunt Rosie walked up to 14th Street, looked under the first car, and there it was, her rosary. Baba talked to her. She talked to her daughter. And they found the rosary. And I've never forgotten that. We have a direct connection with our loved ones in heaven. They still love us from up there. And they're still caring for us. And they want only our good. And so I pray to my Baba Francis to this day, every day sometimes. I say, Baba, help me be a good priest. You said you'd help me. Please help me now. And I pray that she helped me be a good priest. Another side to this story is when we started WLRU Radio under the auspices of LaRue Turner, when we started it, we sent in all the information to the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, and you then asked for a construction permit to build a radio station. And we waited and we waited and we didn't hear anything. And finally, the construction permit came on June 6th. On June 6th, the day of my grandmother's death. And guess who I was praying to? Frances, my grandmother. Baba, I want a radio station. Give me a radio station. And there it was. Do you remember that, LaRue? He remembers. Yeah. On June 6th. They love us still. And let us love them forever when we leave this earth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org, that's S-A-I-N-T, Mary Hillsboro. stmaryhillsboro.org and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.